book of Hebrews for our morning meditation, Hebrews chapter 11. I'd like to begin reading with verse 23. We'll go 8 or 9 verses or so. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 23. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do so, were drowned. I'd like to conclude reading with verse 29. I want to thank you, Brother John, for your prayer. The Lord does stretch us, as Brother John prayed in his prayer. The Lord stretches us and gives us challenges and even trials. And as he biblically prayed, he said, "We thank you, God, for the trials." And I think we need to prep ourselves now ahead of time of the trials, because when the trials come, it's a lot harder to say, "Lord, thank you for the trials." But if we prep and prepare ourselves ahead of time, when those trials do come, when those tribulations do come, it will come much more easily to us to thank God for them, even though none of us would raise our hands, or few of us would raise our hands and say, "Lord, give me that trial." But God is stretching us, challenging us. The scripture where we read and started off with this morning talks about choices. Choices that need to be made in each of our lives and in believers' lives. Choices. And as we know, if you go through the book of Hebrews, just to give a little bit of a background, Hebrews is all about Jesus Christ. When you look through the book of Hebrews, the writer here, who is unknown to us, it's not certain that it's Paul. There could be any variety of authors. But the author is talking about the supremacy of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is a supreme sacrifice, that he is better than Moses, that he's better than all these saints, he's better than Abraham, he's better than the angels, he's even better than Melchizedek, who's a type of Christ in the Old Testament. And as we go through chapters 8, 9, and 10, we read about the one-time sacrifice for all. The Old Testament in Israel, they would have to continually come to the temple and sacrifice, and the priests would continually have to purify themselves and wash themselves ritualistically, and then go into the holiest of holies that one time a year, and then the other times of the year outside the court and sacrifice. And this was in stark contrast, brothers and sisters and friends, to the religion that was there. At the time, it was a very legalistic religion, works-based, that was never intended by God. And those that would be here, Jews of that day, they would say they follow Moses and the prophets. And so the writer here, after speaking about the supremacy of Christ, that Christ is greater, and that it was the one-time sacrifice for all of our sin, there's no more sacrifice for sin. Jesus Christ sat down at the right hand of the Father. He was finished. It was over with. Then he wants to illustrate to the Jews here, to the people of God, that it was always like this. This is nothing new. It was always by faith. And in fact, the scripture that we read in chapter 10, at the end of it, verse 38, says, "Now the just shall live by faith," hearkening back to an Old Testament scripture, "but the just shall live by faith, and if any man draw back, my soul shall not have pleasure in him." The just always lived by faith. And I remember, even as a little kid, for some reason, this one truth rang in my ear for years. As when I thought about Moses, I thought Moses really only committed one sin. I don't know where I got that from. And the one sin was, we all know, he wasn't allowed to go into the promised land. And so it was hitting the rock instead of talking to him, to the rock. And that was silly. But it was a legalistic mind frame that I thought that redemption for Moses was obedience to the law. And so now the writer starts taking us through the heroes of faith, or the hall of faith, as many of us have heard it. And he starts talking about these heroes of faith, from Enoch to Abel to Noah. All these, they walked with God. They talked with God. They left their homeland as Abraham did. Noah built a boat in the middle of nowhere by faith. And what the author really is trying to tell us, and is succinctly telling us, is it wasn't Noah building the boat that saved him. It wasn't Abraham leaving his family that saved him. It was by faith that they were saved. By faith in whom? By faith in God. All of these saints were saved by faith in God, and ultimately by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross. Faith in Him, that's the covenant that we make, that we will have faith in Him, and then God exchanges our sin, nails it to the cross, and God gives us Jesus Christ's righteousness. It's not a fair deal, but we're so thankful that God is not a fair God. He's not an equitable God. He doesn't demand us to go to hell for all eternity to pay for our sins. He, in fact, provided that sacrifice through Jesus Christ upon the cross. How thankful, brothers and sisters, we should be for that. And so the Jews of this day, they would be thinking about the Mosaic law. And so the writer here wonderfully starts talking about Moses. If there was someone that was very well aware and understood the Mosaic law, it would be the one who gave it. It would be Moses. So the writer talks here about Moses. And what we're going to read today, and what we're going to speak about this morning, is that faith is the roadmap that leads us to godly decisions in Christ Jesus. Faith is the roadmap for the decisions that we make. And we make hundreds, if not thousands, of decisions a day. Some of them seem inconsequential. But in the lifetime of our lives, in the span of our years, it's huge. And the decisions that you make as a believer, and my friend outside of Christ, the decisions that you make as an unbeliever, not following Jesus Christ is a decision. Not repenting of your sins is a decision. Not having faith and rejecting Christ, that is a decision. So the first aspect that faith gives us is we understand that faith begins at home. The faith that Moses had, it wasn't primarily caught. It was something that was taught to him. And let's get into the scripture that we read here. In verse 23, it says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment." Another beautiful thing that faith does, it helps us not be afraid. And it doesn't take but looking at the news a few days, if even one day or 2 days, And you see, there's a lot of fear and angst in the world. Are we going to build the wall? Aren't we going to build the wall? Are we going to have good relations with Russia? Aren't we going to have good relations with Russia? Is my 401k going to disappear or isn't it? Is my job secure or isn't it? Are my children going to convert or aren't they? Am I going to be deemed a failure at the throne of God in raising my children whom God has given to me as a possession to share the gospel with? These are real fears and worries that we as believers have. Who am I going to marry? Maybe some of you young people. Who am I going to marry when I'm older? Is she going to be nice to me? Is she going to, we all have seen horrific marriages, even in the body of Christ. We've seen terrible marriages. We see it and we wonder, am I going to end up like that? Am I going to end up like my parents? I see how their relationship is, that they struggle. Am I going to be like that? And there is fear of that. But faith gives us the victory over fear. And we read that here. Moses, when he was born, the scripture says he was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. Now, for our reference, I'm going to be going back from time to time. We can all remember Stephen had an awesome sermon in Acts chapter 7. And it gives a beautiful recounting of the Israelites and how they came out of from all the way, I think, from Abraham. And it talks about Moses, and he talks about Moses. And what's beautiful about Scripture is that there is progressive revelation in Scripture. What I mean by that is, if you would just read the Exodus 2 account of this about Moses, you wouldn't get everything that we read here in Hebrews and everything that we get here in Acts chapter 7. So what happens is the New Testament shines a bright light back on the Old Testament and reveals to us things that we would not have known. And that's called, theologians would call that progressive revelation. We learn more and more as we read the Scripture. And when you read through the Bible, when you read it, you'll be reading stuff and you'll say, I now see that. I now see what Paul was talking about. I see what he was speaking about. So when we look into Acts chapter 7, we can read something a little bit about the teaching and how Moses was born. We can read that in Acts chapter 7. We read in verse 20, in which time Moses was born, and he was exceeding fair. Now, if you have a King James Thompson reference Bible in the side, and almost 9 out of 10 translations will read exceedingly fair unto God. You know, all of us, or most of us, when we see our children, we think that they're beautiful. They're awesome. They're so smart. They're so talented. They could do anything, which generally is not true. They're the best kids, which generally isn't true either. But we sometimes look through rose-colored glasses at our children. But when they saw that Moses was proper child in Hebrews and that he was exceedingly fair, it was exceedingly fair unto God. So there was something revealed or obvious or revealed to the parents of Moses that Moses was different, Moses was special. And so that was immediately known unto the parents, as we find out in Acts chapter 7. And so what happened? Moses, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. What was the king's commandment? The king's commandment was that every male child was to be killed that was born. And Moses was in that time frame. He was to be killed. He was to be thrown into the river. And the scripture says that they hid Moses for 3 months. But after 3 months, you know what happens with kids? They start to cry. And you might even think, well, they must have been afraid. That's why they hid him. No, they were afraid. They weren't afraid of the king's explicit command. The explicit command was, if you have a child, he should be killed. The implicit or the implied command was, if you defy the king, this isn't America. This was, if you defy the king, the implicit command was, you're going to die. You're at threat of death. And they didn't fear that. They knew the right thing to do was to obey the commandment of God. And there's a lesson in it for us here. No matter what the king says, no matter what the president says, no matter what the Congress passes, no matter what the Supreme Court adjudicates, we are to follow the scriptures. We are to follow the commandment of God, even if it means that we may die.
And brothers and sisters, we're a whole lot closer to losing our jobs, to losing our lives, to losing our livelihood, to losing our wealth, to losing our prestige, to losing our reputation that we have in the community than we were 30, 40 years ago. Christianity is not a preserved religion anymore, not a revered religion anymore. In some pockets of society, yes, it is, but overall, it's not. We're labeled as bigots and haters. And that will only grow, brothers and sisters. That will only and has only grown. We have to be careful. We are taught to be careful of what we say and what we do. But we ought not fear the kings, the congresses, the supreme courts, the neighbors, our bosses' commandment. But this also means, brothers and sisters, that we ought to be wise too. They didn't sit out with Moses in the front lawn and play around with him. They hid him. We are not to be so bold to think that we can just tempt God in every area. There's things as believers that we can be wise with. But they hid Moses for 3 months. And when it was time that they couldn't hide him anymore, we all know the story. They put him in a basket, and then Miriam watched over the basket, and the basket floated down the river, and it came to the Pharaoh's daughter. She found the basket and took it up. And the scripture says in verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Not only is it important, brothers and sisters, what we do as parents, we can see here that the parents, that Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Why would he do that? Why would Moses, if he was in Pharaoh's court, if he was taught, as we read in Acts chapter 7, we read how Pharaoh was taught in the court. In verse 22, it says, and Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in words and deeds. He went to the best colleges and universities that in history and everything that Egypt offered. Why now would Pharaoh, Moses, when he's 40 years old, why would he all of a sudden change? Well, we know that Moses' parents raised Moses from when he was a little baby, and the scripture doesn't really say how old he was when he went back to Pharaoh's court. It could have been 3 years. It could have been probably even up to 10 to 12 years. And brothers and sisters, we know those years, those 0 to 12 years are so important and vital. Hold on to them, brothers and sisters. But use them wisely. What we teach our children from 0 to 12 is paramount and huge and important. What we teach them for those 12 years will last with them a lifetime. And they were important in Moses' years. Are you taking the time, brothers and sisters? Are we taking the times to pray with our children? Are we taking the time when we're walking outside with them to talk about Jesus and what he did with you at work? Are you taking the time to look out in the stars in the sky and to talk about the creator of the universe? Are you taking the time when you're sitting at the table to speak about the day and bring things to Christ? Are you taking the time to do that? You see, it had a huge effect on Pharaoh, on Moses, so much that he refused to be called, the scripture says, that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And why is that? Because he was taught about something about himself. He was taught that he was a proper child. He was taught by his parents, Moses, there's something special about you. You're going to lead our children out. And you might think, well, where do you get that from? I get that, brothers and sisters, from Acts chapter 7. We read here in the scripture, in verse, when Moses was out and he saw one of his brethren, one of the Jews being hurt by an Egyptian, in verse 25 it says, For Moses supposed his brethren would have understood, after he killed the Egyptian, would have understood that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. So Moses had an understanding that he was going to be the deliverer, that he was going to do something mighty. And yeah, obviously Moses went ahead of God here. It is what Moses did here, we read in Exodus, was he looked to the right, he looked to the left, probably looked up and he looked down. He tried to make sure that nobody was watching, and he murdered an Egyptian. This was not a just murder. There's no murder that's just, but this was not an appropriate use of force. This was clear-cut murder. But Moses knew within himself, because what his parents taught him, that Moses, you are going to lead. You're something special. You will redeem your people. Even though you're going to Pharaoh's court, even though you're going to be taught in the greatest schools, you are going to be special. Brothers and sisters, if we haven't been doing that with our children, if I haven't been doing that with my children, if you haven't been doing that with your children, taking that special time, they are the most important thing that God has given to you. Is they're only there for a short time. But the teaching, by faith, the teaching, that's the first part. It wasn't Moses' faith here. It was the parents' faith. It was the parents' faith that Moses built upon, because they taught him about the ways of God. Also, by faith, it helps us to look past what? To be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That's huge. Maybe we don't see how big that is. He refused. He walked away from everything. Everything that was powerful, that had money, that had prestige. Egypt was the power of the day, was the superpower, at least of that area, much like the United States of our area, and even in the world still. Egypt was it. But the scripture says he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was going to be going from a prince to a pauper. You know, sometimes we talk about neglecting or forgetting the chase. Let's leave the chase behind. The thing about Pharaoh, the thing about Moses is he not only left the chase, he left the prize of the chase. What do I mean by that? Moses didn't have to run after the prize. Moses didn't have to go after it. Moses had it. He was either next in line or the next person in line, possibly for the throne, to be the next Pharaoh. He had prestige. He had power. He had everything. And then he would look at his people, and he remembered the teachings that his parents gave, and he had by faith. He knew there was something better than this, that God had something in store for him. That there was a Savior that was going to be coming. He had that faith. He was willing to leave the prize. And what is the prize that we have now, or the chase of the prize that we have now? It's a myriad of things for us as believers. But I'd like to just name a few. We all love to be liked. We have a desire to be adored. Is that the prize that we have? To be well-liked by people. To have the everybody likes me syndrome, and you want everybody to adore you. Maybe prestige and power. Maybe it's wealth. Maybe it's the paid-off home mortgage. You know, sometimes in some circles, that is the sacrosanct thing, to have that. And all money gets poured into that, because once we do that, we can be financially free and we can do whatever we want. If that's our God, if that's what our focus is, because we want to be independent, because if something does come and some calamity comes, I want to be free of that. Maybe it's stocking up on a bunch of food in our home and so we could survive, you know, 2 years without any help from anybody. And that's okay. That is not sinful to do. But when that is our chase and that's our drive and when that's our goal, when it's pride in our work and we want others to see that, and when there's envy in our hearts and we strive for things of this world, education maybe. Maybe education is one of those things. Trying to be the smartest guy in the room always. That's probably for some of us men. Maybe that's something where we always want to top the other person. We always want to. There's a guy in my work. It doesn't matter what story I would come up with. Actually, I would not lie, but I would try to come up with a story that I knew was fascinating, was something that happened that I knew was pretty interesting. No matter what, He knew something of something somewhere that happened that was better, and it topped it. It was enjoyable to do. Are we always needing to be the brightest bulb in the hallway? The better idea? That's the chase, and that's the prize. Are we putting it down? See, faith gives us the ability, like Moses, to look past the power, the prestige that we all so desire, the respect that we want to earn and have, the love that we desire. And sometimes all that is good, can be all good. There's nothing innately above all those that I can think of that is innately sinful. But when we put it on a pedestal and we put it in an inappropriate preference and priority, then it becomes sin. The next thing is that faith also allows us to look past sin. We read that here. This is Moses choosing to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Faith gives us the ability, brothers and sisters, to look past sin and to look to Christ. Because sin is tempting in this world. And I wish I could tell you, and I wish I could stand from this pulpit and say sin isn't enjoyable. Of course it is. And anybody that says it's not is not reading the scriptures biblically. The reason sin is so tempting is because it is enjoyable. It's not tempting for me to chop off my arm or to punch myself in the face. That's not tempting for me because that's not pleasureful. But sin is pleasureful. It is enjoyable. But faith gives us the ability to pull the results of sin, the calamity of sin, the strenuous, the death of sin, because we know the scripture says, what's the end result of all sin? It's death. That's the end result of all sin. And as believers, when we sin, what do we see? There's separation from the Father. We move out of fellowship with Him and close fellowship with Him. When there's sin in our lives, maybe it's sin with our spouses, when we have pornography in our lives, when there's that sin creeps in, what happens? There's that separation. There's that icky feeling. There's that sin that we feel, that heartache. I wish, brothers and sisters, that we could take the heartache of sin and pull it forward. And maybe that's what faith does. Faith gives us the ability to remember the results of what sin are. Faith gives us the ability to remember of what sin occurs in the Old Testament and New Testament. The results of that, and to pull it forward into now so we see and we can remember that was horrible what happened to Moses. That was horrible what happened with David and Bathsheba. That was terrible. It was gross. And we can pull it forward and say, I don't want to do that because I don't want to disappoint my Heavenly Father. I don't want to disappoint my friends. I don't want to disappoint the church. I don't want to disappoint my spouse. I don't want to disappoint my boss. I don't want to disappoint my children. If we could pull that sin, faith helps us to do that, pull it forward, and we can see the sin is then not so pleasurable. The sin is not so enjoyable. Moses was able to do that because he had faith in God. By faith we do that. Faith gives us the ability to look past sin and to look to the cross. Lastly, we see that here. He esteemed the reproach of Christ, and we might think, well, he didn't know about Jesus. Well, this is Christ, the Messiah, the future Messiah. This is obviously, they didn't know specifically Jesus would be the Messiah, but this would be that esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than Egypt, the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He knew of the reward that was there. And how awesome it is. Everything that we do, brothers, has to be in mind. Brothers and sisters, let's have it in mind, the reproach, and have Christ on our minds. Have the Messiah on our minds. He had what on his mind? By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing one who is invisible. And here's something maybe we want to just look at quickly because time is running out. We read in Exodus chapter 2 that Moses was afraid. You read it in Exodus chapter 2. You will read. Look today. Look now if you feel. Moses was afraid. Well, Moses was afraid after he had killed the Egyptian. But before that, he decided that he was going to leave Pharaoh's court. He wasn't afraid of that. That was also a death sentence. It could have been a potential death sentence. He was not afraid of that. He was not afraid of leaving the king's court. Moses, by faith, was not afraid, for he forsook Egypt. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest that he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Faith always points back to the cross. And we can see that Moses, by faith, forsook the pleasures of sin. By faith, he forsook the treasures and the pleasures and the prestige and the power in Egypt. But by faith, most importantly, he looked toward the cross. He looked toward the crimson blood that would be stained, that would be splattered. And he knew then that the death angel would pass over it. You know, Moses could have been thinking worldly-wise. He said, well, I'm going to get out of Egypt. I'm going to save my children. Let's move out so the death angel doesn't get us. No, the blood was going to be the only thing that was going to protect him. You know, and worldly thinking with us might be that, you know, he was going to be next in line for the throne. Maybe he could have thought, you know what? Rather than thinking back to my youth, I'm going to become Pharaoh one day, and I'm going to let my people and free them. I'm going to use it by my power, by my might, by my wealth, by my prestige. God said, no, Pharaoh. That might have been pragmatic. That might have been practical. That might have been the wise thing. We might even think of that sometimes as Christians. We might think, well, you can exert more authority, Pharaoh, then. No. Moses, by faith, knew he had to leave the teachings of Egypt and follow the teachings of God. And we have the teachings in Egypt all around us, brothers and sisters. The Greek culture, the worldly American culture, it's all around us. It infiltrates even our minds and our thinking. And we need to leave that, reject that, walk away from that, and follow the cross to redemption. And then we read here, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians trying to do, a saying means to try, trying to do, were drowned. Faith gives us and leads us to redemption from our sins, but also victory and freedom. We have freedom in Christ. We no longer are slaves to sin. We don't now have to serve sin. My friend, outside of Christ, you have to serve sin. Oh, every now and then you might have a spattering of doing good, but you have to serve sin. You see, when you become a Christian, when you have faith in Christ and you repent of your sins, you no longer are a slave to sin. Faith gives you that victory through the Red Sea to freedom. Faith, brothers and sisters, is the roadmap that leads us to great and holy and godly decisions in Jesus Christ.
Many good teachings from the life of Moses. Those were expounded on beautifully this morning. The teaching of faith, the teaching of choosing, and the teaching of affliction. Verse number 25 captures that well, where it says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. This is the wisdom that the Bible is teaching us. Making a choice. We're going to make a choice to serve the Lord. We're going to walk by faith, trusting that God's going to provide some way, somehow. Don't know, but He's going to. Having that faith. And knowing that, yes, we're going to have to suffer affliction in this life. The Bible says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time aren't worthy to be compared with the glories that shall be revealed in us. The poverty that we may have to experience in this life by going through some affliction cannot compare to the riches that we will have throughout eternity. The South Bay Choir over 20 years ago sang a song that says, I've looked beyond, and now the world can't satisfy. Moses looked beyond, and the world couldn't satisfy. May God grant unto us that we would look beyond this life, and know that the world can't satisfy. Amen.